earrings, and bracelets. Genesis 24, verses 28 to 30. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earrings and bracelets upon his sister's hands, when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, Thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. When the very last and thirstieth camel could drink no more, Rebekah laid down her pitcher. With her scarf veil, she wiped her face and brow, and stood looking at him. And before saying one more word, Eliezer, who was astounded at the beautiful character and personality of Rebekah, took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. Still wondering at the goodness of God to answer his mission so quickly, he inquired, Whose daughter are you? Who are your parents? From what lineage and home are you from? Eliezer knew that the city of Nahor was a city in which Abraham formerly lived, but many other families inhabited that city by the time Rebekah lived there. Rebekah answered, in Genesis 24 and verse 24, And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which he bare unto Nahor. The information as to her family and lineage was all the more wonderful to Eliezer. She was of the same family as Abraham. Surely God was leading him to fulfill every detail of the requirements of his task. Then Eliezer asked another searching question. Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house to lodge in? Will your family receive me and my companions into your home to lodge? Was the family of Rebekah as open and hospitable as their daughter? Again the answer Rebekah gave to this question brought peace and much gratitude to the heart of Abraham's messenger. She answered, We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in. With that answer, Eliezer was overwhelmed. And we read in Genesis 24:26 that he bowed his head and worshipped the Lord. With such abundant answer to his prayers and fulfillment of his requirements to fulfill his mission, Eliezer's heart overflowed with gratitude. Right then and there, he poured out his heart in worship. And we read, And it came to pass when her brother Laban saw the earrings and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, Thus spake the man unto me, that he ran to the man at the well, and behold, the man Eliezer stood by the camels at the well. And Laban said, Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Laban, the brother of Rebekah, is a type of the brothers and sisters of the bride of Christ, or fellow members in the body of Christ, in which the bride is also a member. Every Christian is not, nor aspires to be, one that enters into an intimate love relationship with the heavenly bridegroom, Jesus. When Rebekah's brother Laban saw the earrings and the bracelets that she wore, let us remember that Abraham's servant, Eliezer, was a type of the Holy Spirit, and he did not come empty-handed, but brought with him 10 camels loaded with precious gifts. Every one of those camels came loaded with a lovely and priceless gift for the bride-to-be and for her mother and brother and family. In verse 53, we read that the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah and gave also to her brother and her mother precious things. When the Holy Spirit comes to the church, he does not come empty-handed, but comes loaded with gifts. However, Eliezer offered no gift before she had passed the test that would prove that her development would meet the demands for brideship. Eliezer did not tempt her or try to buy her to water the camels with earthly treasures. She had to already have acquired the necessary qualifications to become the bride of Isaac before any gifts were offered. As Eliezer is a type of the Holy Spirit, it is most significant to see what gifts he chose to give first to Rebekah. He carefully selected two specific gifts from all his treasures, gifts that were especially appropriate for the occasion. All the rest of the treasures he brought with him will be given at the proper time, but he did not give them to her all at once. The two gifts he gave first may seem unimportant, but they are, in fact, and in Oriental custom, most meaningful. Her willing acceptance of those items was profoundly consequential. So many Christians seek to have other gifts from the Holy Spirit, such as the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, and other beautiful, lovely gifts that the Apostle Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That is all well and good. But such gifts were not what Eliezer chose out first to give to Rebekah. The first gift he chose was an earring of gold. The earring was a sign of betrothal, as well as a sign of voluntary slavery without end. This ring she must wear for all to see and thereby know what it meant. As the ring is a circle without end, so her acceptance of it was for all of her life. That earring carried the significance of a betrothal, as well as the bonds of servitude for love. As to the sign of slavery, we read in the book of Exodus, chapter 21, and verse 5. If the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. The Holy Spirit desires to put the ring on first. The ring is a sign of a life commitment of love, a sign of her engagement. I am my beloved's, and he is mine, sang a shepherdess in the Song of Songs. That life commitment God seeks to bring first to his bride-to-be. Gold, in Bible typology, represents the nature of God. Gold is called the royal metal, a metal no acid save one can affect, and a metal that never tarnishes. But Eliezer had yet another gift especially chosen for Rebekah, and he drew out of his bag two golden bracelets. In the Spanish language, the word for handcuffs and the word for wife is pronounced and spelled in exactly the same way. Handcuffs is called esposas, and a wife is called esposa. In other words, they signified a binding, an apprehension of gold. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. The word apprehended is used by the police when they arrest or apprehend a prisoner. It means that the suspect has been arrested and they have put the handcuffs on him. Handcuffs are often called bracelets by policemen. When a man has these bracelets on, he is no longer free to do whatever he desires. Accepting and wearing the bracelets signified that Rebecca was no longer a free maiden. In many Oriental cultures, if a young lady was offered such an expensive gift, it was considered to be an offer of marriage. I have known a foreign young men to find themselves in much trouble because they innocently gave a nice gift to a young lady without realizing that it meant, in her culture, an offer of marriage. She must not ever accept such a gift unless she is willing to marry the giver. It is obvious that Laban was not a wealthy man because his own sister and not hired servants had to carry the water for the household. Rebecca recognized the beauty and the great value of such gifts, and therefore knew that it was an offer of marriage that she would have to accept or reject immediately. Therefore, when she accepted those gifts without any show of rejection or even hesitation, she also accepted the offer and became betrothed. Furthermore, she evidently put them on and wore them proudly to her home. She willingly accepted the offer of marriage and the bracelets as a token of commitment and limitations that marriage would mean in her life. She was no longer a free woman. Her whole life would now come under certain restrictions that marriage meant in her culture. She became apprehended by love and her husband, a man she knew absolutely nothing about at that moment. But wearing those precious gifts meant, for one and all to see, that she was no longer free to love or serve another. It meant that from then on she would live under the will and orders of her beloved. She could no longer go or do according to her own will or caprice. One wonders that Rebecca, a beautiful young maiden, gave such an immediate acceptance of that offer without having a clue as to who the man was. Doubtless an answer to that mystery lays in the fact that an angel of the Lord accompanied Eliezer. That angelic but invisible influence calmed her fears, gave her faith to believe that this man was true and she could trust him.